Hi, Rebecca Shear here, inviting you to join the Circle Round Club. You can get ad-free episodes, bonus bedtime stories, and first dibs on tickets to Circle Round events, plus exclusive access to our club store, where you can get special extras, like a personalized birthday message from me. Join today at wbur.org/CircleRoundClub. Hi, I hope you've buckled your seatbelt, because you are in for one spectacular ride. What you're about to hear is a road trip-worthy episode we're calling Playing by Ear, featuring a little over an hour of your favorite Circle Round stories about music. All right, start your engines. Let's go. Do you remember the last time you were surprised? You expected one thing to happen, but then something else happened entirely. Life is full of surprises, and while some of them can throw us for a loop, others can bring some really great things, unexpectedly great things. And that's exactly what happens to the young woman we'll meet in today's story. I would say more, but I don't want to give away the surprise. I'm Rebecca Shear, and welcome to Circle Round, where story time happens all the time. Today, our tale is called The Drum. People have been sharing versions of this folktale for a long, long time in India. Some really great people came together to bring you this story, including Shankar Vedantam. Grown-ups, you might recognize Shankar as the host of the fascinating NPR show and podcast, Hidden Brain. So, circle around, everyone, for The Drum. In a small village, a man named Kairav lived with his daughter, Rinali. Kairav worked for the wealthier families in the village, cleaning their houses and grinding their grain. They gave him some of their grain in return, just enough to feed himself and his daughter. One hot afternoon, after a long day of work, Kairav came home with a bit more grain than usual.
Rinali, I earned a little bit of extra grain today, and I'm going to the market to sell it. Is there anything I can bring back for you?
Rinali was quiet for a moment. For as long as she could remember, there was one thing she wanted more than anything in the world. She'd never told her father, but from the time she was little, she had dreamed of being a musician. A very particular kind of musician.
Well, Father, since you asked, all I would really like is a drum.
Kairav was surprised.
A drum?
Yes. I know it's an extravagant thing to ask for, and far more than we can afford, but a drum is the one thing I want. Nothing more.
Kairav felt his heart drop. Rinali was right. He could never afford a drum. He and Rinali had just enough money to buy the few things they couldn't make or grow themselves. But he nodded and smiled at his daughter. Then he trudged off to market. By selling the extra grain, he was able to buy flour and salt to make bread for dinner. As he walked back toward the one-room house he shared with Rinali, he began to feel sad that he couldn't buy his daughter the one thing she wanted.
Oh, if only I had enough money to buy my daughter a drum. There must be something I can bring her, just so she knows I'm thinking of her. What could it be?
Kairav scanned the tall grass beside the road. Suddenly, he spotted something amongst the wildflowers and weeds. It was a long, crooked stick.
Well, it's not a drum, but with this stick, Rinali can tap out rhythms on the ground. That's something. For now, this will have to do.
Kairav picked up the stick and placed it in his bag with the flour and salt. When he got home, he set the stick down on the rickety old table.
Rinali, my child, I know what you really want is a drum, but until we can afford such things, I've brought you something else.
Rinali looked at the long, crooked stick on the table. Then she looked at her father. She reached out and gave him a hug.
Thank you, Papa. I know we can't afford a drum, but this stick, it's the next best thing.
Kairav tussled Rinali's hair.
You've always been one to show such appreciation, my daughter. Who knows? This stick could wind up coming in very handy.
After giving her father a kiss on the cheek, Renali grabbed the stick and ran outside. She plopped down on the dirt road in front of the house and used the stick to tap out rhythms on the ground. Soon, she noticed the sun was about to set.
It's such a beautiful evening. Before the sun goes down, I think I'll take my new stick for a walk.
As Renali strolled along the road, she kept time with her stick by tapping it in rhythm against her leg. Before long, she was finding it hard to see, not because the sun had gone down, but because the air was filled with smoke.
What is going on? Where are these clouds of smoke coming from?
Peering through the dark gray smoke, Renali saw a baker standing beside a stove. Puffs of smoke were streaming from the stove and making the baker's eyes water.
Excuse me, sir. What happened here? Why so much smoke?
The baker wiped his eyes and looked at Renali with a weak smile.
Thank you for asking, child. Everyone else has run right past me, covering their mouths and fanning their hands. The trouble, you see, is this. I need to start my fire for baking, but all of my wood got drenched in the rain last night. Now it's so wet, it won't catch fire. Instead, it just smokes and smokes and smokes.
Renali looked down at the stick in her hands, then back up at the baker.
Here. Why don't you use this stick for your fire? It's very dry, and it won't make any smoke.
The baker could hardly believe his luck.
Thank you, young lady. It's worth a shot.
Renali handed the baker the stick, and immediately the fire began to burn.
The fire is so clear, so bright. Now I can bake my breads and sweets. As a token of my appreciation, please let me bake you a piece of fresh bread.
Renali watched as a pale hunk of dough on the stove turned a deep golden brown. The baker wrapped the bread in a kerchief and handed it to her.
This bread looks absolutely delicious. Thank you.
Renali tucked the bread under her arm and continued down the road. As she rounded a bend, she heard a baby crying. There, in front of the local potter's house, she saw the potter herself. She was cradling an infant. Even though the child lay snugly in its mother's arms, it just kept sobbing and sobbing.
Excuse me, ma'am. Might I ask, why is your baby crying so much?
The potter patted the baby gently on the head and gazed at Renali with exhaustion.
Oh, thank you for asking. Everyone else has dashed right past me, covering their ears with their hands. You see, this poor dear here is hungry, but I haven't sold a pot in weeks, so there is no food left to feed him.
Renali felt the warm bread tucked beneath her arm. Then she looked at the potter and her crying child.
Well, here, why not give him this fresh bread?
One taste of that golden brown bread, and the baby immediately stopped crying. The potter beamed.
Oh, thank you so much. I don't have much to offer in return, but as a sign of my gratitude, please let me give you this pot. It's the newest one I've made, and I'm so very proud of it.
Wow, you sure are a wonderful artist. This pot is beautiful. Thank you.
Renali picked up the pot and continued down the road. As she reached the river that flowed through the village, she came across a man and woman having an argument.
How are we going to finish washing our clothes without our pot? I can't believe you broke it.
I wouldn't have fallen and broken the pot if you hadn't spilled soap on the ground and made it so slippery.
You're impossible.
I'm impossible? No, you're impossible.
Renali listened to the husband and wife as they quarreled and bickered. Suddenly, she had an idea for how to bring about some peace. What do you think it was? We'll find out after a quick break.
My favorite stories are Ashes for Sale.
I like the story of the golden lamb because it taught me to use my talents.
My favorite music is A Lion, The Whisper, because I think the music is really beautiful.
I I'm Rebecca Shear, and welcome back to Circle Round. Today, our story is called The Drum. When we left off, a girl named Rinali was taking a stroll through the village. Earlier that afternoon, her father had given her a gift. She'd wanted a drum. All her life she'd wanted a drum. But it was more than her father could afford. So instead, he gave her a stick. But then Rinali met a baker who needed wood to fire up his oven. So Rinali gave him the stick. In return, he gave her some fresh bread. Next, Rinali met a potter who needed food for her baby. So Rinali gave her the bread. In return, the potter gave Rinali a homemade pot. After that, Rinali came across a husband and wife who were arguing by the river. They'd been washing their clothes in a pot when it broke, and now they were blaming each other for the accident. So Rinali ran over to the couple and held out her pot.
Hey, listen, if you really want to wash your clothes, why not use this pot?
The man and woman stopped fighting. They looked at Rinali, their eyes wide.
We can have it? This pot.
Are you sure?
Very sure.
Thank you so much. You have given us a great gift.
Without you, we would have been bickering here all day. We must repay you.
The woman rooted around one of the clean piles of laundry and picked out a beautiful long coat.
You've been so kind. Let us give you this coat as a sign of our thanks.
What a soft, lovely coat! Thank you! Thank you so much!
Rinali took the coat and continued on her way. As she crossed the bridge over the river, she saw a strange sight on the opposite bank. It was a man, soaking wet and shivering with cold, in his underwear.
Hey, sir, are you okay? Why are you all wet?
The man wrapped his arms around himself and answered Rinali through chattering teeth.
Well, thank you for asking. Everyone else has run right past me, laughing their heads off. What happened was this. I was on my way to town to visit my family when a band of robbers attacked me. They took all of my money and my clothes and then pushed me into the river. All they left behind was my horse.
Rinali took the jacket in her hands and held it out toward the man.
Sir, why not take this jacket? You need to warm yourself up right away or you'll catch a cold.
The man wrapped himself tightly in the soft, warm coat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now I must give you something to show my thanks. Here, let me give you my horse. She's the smoothest ride around, and sweet as can be.
Rinali never had a horse before, but she'd always loved animals. Gently, she stroked the horse's nose.
This is so generous of you. A horse! Thank you so much.
Rinali took the horse's reins and continued to walk down the road. She looked at the sky and noticed the sun was finally about to set. She turned to her new companion and petted her mane.
Well, my friend, we really should be getting home. It must be near dinner time, and my father will be wondering where I've been.
Rinali was about to turn around and head back home when all of a sudden, do you know what she saw? A wedding party. A big wedding party. But Rinali noticed everyone's faces were long and sad, including the brides and grooms. Rinali walked up to the bride.
Please tell me, miss, why does everyone here look so unhappy? Aren't weddings supposed to be full of joy?
The bride looked at Rinali with a furrowed brow.
Thank you for asking. You see, the wedding procession can't begin until we have a horse for the groom to ride on. Somehow, the man we rented a horse from is nowhere to be found. If he doesn't show up soon, it'll be too dark to have the wedding.
Rinali furrowed her brow. Then she felt the reins in her hands.
Well, if you promise to care for and love this horse, why not use her in the wedding procession?
The entire wedding party burst into a cheer. The bride threw her arms around Rinali in a warm embrace.
Thank you so much. You've saved our wedding day. Is there anything we can give you in exchange for such generosity?
Rinali looked around the wedding party. She spotted a buffet of delicious food laid out on a table, dishes and desserts she had heard about but never tasted. She saw the smiling wedding guests, all dressed in their finest clothing. And then she noticed a stage. It was strung with many colored lights, and standing right in the middle of it was a band. A singer, a flute player, and a drummer. Renali's face lit up.
Well, if you feel you must give me something, there is one thing I can think of.
Anything. Name it. It's yours.
Renali felt her heart flutter.
Could I have one of the musicians' drums?
The bride smiled and walked over to the stage. The drummer had a whole set of drums and was more than happy to give one to the kind girl who had saved the day. He handed the bride one of his smaller drums. As the bride carried it over, Renali noticed the drum was beautifully decorated with bright blue beads.
Here, this is for you.
Renali was overjoyed.
A drum! My very own drum! I can hardly believe it! Thank you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Now we have a beautiful sweet horse, and now we can begin our wedding.
As the musicians struck up the wedding music, Renali cradled the drum in her arms and sprinted home as fast as she could. She got back to the tiny one-room house just as the sun was dipping below the horizon.
Papa! Papa, look what I have!
Renali burst into the house and held up her brand new drum. When Kairov saw it, his eyes welled up with tears.
A drum, Renali? But how?
Renali sat her father down and told him the story from the very beginning, starting with the long, crooked stick he'd given her for tapping out rhythms. As she recounted every twist and turn of her adventure, she accompanied the tale with bright eyes, a big smile, and the steady beat of her drum. Now it's your turn. When's the last time you gave someone a gift? Perhaps it was a birthday present for a friend, or a get-well gift for a relative. Or maybe you gave someone something just because. Well, whatever the gift and whatever the occasion, you no doubt brought some joy to someone else's life. So think about the gift you gave and who you gave it to, then get some paper and draw a picture of both of you with the gift. And if you'd like, you can share your drawing with us. Have a grown-up take a picture of your artwork and email it to circleround@wbur.org. Special thanks to our actors this week, Jacob Ye, Sarah Storm, Eric Messner, Hannah Kenny, Mitch Hebert, Phoebe Lloyd, Anu Yadav, and Shankar Vedantam. Grown-ups, you can hear Shankar on Hidden Brain, the brilliant show and podcast from NPR. Want to be the first one to hear our next Circle Round story? You can subscribe to Circle Round on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, please write us a review. It helps other people find the show. And while you're listening to Circle Round, you can keep your hands and eyes busy with our coloring pages. Artist Sabina Hahn has created one black and white illustration for every story, and you can find them on our website, wbur.org/circleround. Circle Round is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Rebecca Shear. Thanks for circling round with us. Do you have a favorite song? Or maybe there's a singer you especially like, or a musician? We all love listening to music, and part of the reason is how powerful it can be. Music can make you feel happy, right? Or sad, or make you want to get up and dance. In today's story, we'll meet a harp player whose music was so inspiring, it shook the oceans. I'm Rebecca Shear, and welcome to Circle Round, where story time happens all the time. Today, our story is called Sadko and the Sea. In Russia, they've been sharing versions of this folktale for centuries. Some really great people came together to bring you this tale, including Max Greenfield and Lakshmi Singh. Grown-ups, you might recognize Max from the comedy New Girl on Fox, as well as the new FX original series, The Assassination of Gianni Versace. And if you're a public radio fan, you know Lakshmi Singh as a newscaster on NPR. So, circle round, everyone. for Sadko and the Sea. If you travel to the country of Russia, you might visit a city called Novgorod. And within the city of Novgorod, you'll find a river. It's called the Volkhov River, and it flows right through the middle of town. But once upon a time, the city of Novgorod had no rivers. It had lakes, including a wonderful crystal clear body of water called Lake Ilmen. But the Volkhov River, it didn't exist. Well, it didn't exist yet. This story is about how the Volkhov River came to be. It all began with a man named Sadko. Everyone in Novgorod called him Sadko the Musician, because before Sadko's father breathed his last breath, he taught his son to play a wooden harp called a goosely. And by the time Sadko grew older, he could play the goosely more beautifully than anyone. Wealthy merchants in Novgorod knew Sadko the Musician was the most gifted player around, so they hired him to play and sing at their celebrations and feasts. But as the evening wore on, the revelers would get so caught up in their partying, they wouldn't pay any attention to Sadko's music.
Well, I might as well keep playing. It's a paycheck after all, and I need to put bread in my belly. I just wish there were someone out there who truly appreciated the music that I bring to the world.
Sadko was about to get his wish. You see, the day came when Sadko wasn't invited to play at any celebrations or feasts.
Wow! I actually have the night off. I think I'll take my goosely down to Lake Ilmen and sing some songs. Just for me.
So, he did. Sadko kept his goosely safe by wearing it on a rope around his neck. Clutching the rope and goosely tight to his chest, he made his way out to a rock by the shore of Lake Ilmen. As he watched the moon rise over the calm, clear water, he played and sang song after song. As he did, he noticed the waters of the lake were moving. First a ripple, then a swirl, and next thing he knew, frothy white waves were crashing against the rock where Sadko was sitting.
That is weird. The more I play, the more the water rises and churns. I wonder what will happen if I play faster.
As the tempo of Sadko's music sped up, so did the movement of the water. Soon, a great whirlpool formed in the middle of the lake. Out of the middle rose a man. A giant man, taller than the tallest steeple in Novgorod.
Sadko. Sadko the Musician. Is that you?
Sadko saw the giant man had stormy gray eyes and a green, wavy beard like seaweed flowing all the way to his waist. On his massive head was a crown made of starfish. Suddenly, Sadko realized who the giant man was.
Oh my goodness, you are the Tsar of the Sea, ruler of all bodies of water. You're the king of everything, from oceans to lakes to rivers.
That's right, Sadko the Musician. It is I, the Tsar of the Sea. And tonight, my daughters and I traveled all the way from our palace under the Caspian Sea. We came to this lake, Lake Ilmen, to hold a feast for the water elves and fairies who live here. And when you started playing, we got up and danced right there on the bottom of the lake. And I tell you, never have you seen such dancing!
Sadko thought about how the waters had whirled and twirled as he played his goosely. It all made sense now. All the magical creatures at the bottom of the lake had been dancing to his music. Sadko bowed his head.
Oh, Honorable Tsar, I am so flattered that you enjoyed my playing. It is a pleasure to perform for those who truly appreciate music.
Sadko, I see you are not rich in gold, but you are rich in something even better. Music! And to show you how much I appreciate that, may I offer this reward?
Sadko gasped as a sparkling gold net appeared on the rock beside him.
Take this net, Sadko, and cast it into the waters of Lake Ilmen. Whatever you catch, that is my gift to you.
Sadko stared at the net. He could hardly speak.
Oh, thank you, O Tsar of the Sea, thank you.
The Tsar nodded and smiled.
You are most welcome, Sadko. There is just one thing I ask in return.
Anything for you, O Tsar of the Sea. Anything.
All right. Promise me this. That you will come to my palace under the Caspian Sea and play for me and my daughters someday soon.
Sadko could hardly believe his ears. After all his years of entertaining rowdy merchants, the thought of playing for royalty, royalty who appreciated music, made his head spin.
Of course, Tsar of the Sea. Of course. It would be my honor.
Good.
And with that, the Tsar of the Sea slowly sank beneath the water and disappeared.
Gosh, what was that, a dream? Am I asleep? I can't be. The Tsar of the Sea, I saw him with my own eyes. And this gold net, I am feeling it with my own fingers. I guess it wouldn't hurt to cast it into the lake. That's what the Tsar wanted me to do, after all.
So Sadko reached out and cast the net into the lake. Instantly, the net grew so heavy, Sadko had to use every muscle in his body to pull it back in. As soon as he dragged the net up onto the shore, he saw where all the weight had come from.
A treasure chest!
The treasure chest was wooden and bound in brass. And when Sadko pried it open, what do you think he found inside? That's right, treasure. Sea treasure. Every kind imaginable. Shimmering pearls, iridescent shells, twinkling aquamarine, a huge pile of treasure glimmering in the moonlight.
Wow. With riches like these, I will never have to play at those merchants' rowdy feasts ever again. Hey, I know what I'll do. I'll become a merchant myself. I'm sure the Tsar of the Sea wouldn't mind if I sold one or two of these treasures and bought myself a stall at the marketplace. My days of worrying about putting bread in my belly are over.
Sadko was about to close the chest and carry it away when one of the treasures caught his eye. It was a greenish-blue piece of aquamarine. It almost seemed to glow. Picking up the gemstone, Sadko noticed it had a familiar shape.
Huh. A harp. It looks like a harp. Like a goosely.
Sadko untied his goosely from the rope he wore around his neck and set the goosely down on the ground. He took the rope and wound it around the piece of glowing aquamarine, turning it into a necklace. Then he threw the glowing greenish-blue necklace into the greenish-blue water of the lake.
This is for you, Tsar of the Sea. In thanks for the gift that you gave me, I will come back and play for you. I will.
Now that Sadko the musician wants to become Sadko the merchant, what do you think will happen? Will he come back and play for the Tsar of the Sea? And what might happen if he doesn't? We'll find out after a quick break.
Support for the Circle Round podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/circle round. That's Indeed.com/circle round. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Circle Round. I'm Rebecca Shear, and today our story is called Sadko and the Sea. When we left off, a humble musician named Sadko had received a chest of treasures from the Tsar of the Sea. The Tsar told Sadko that, in return, the musician must come back and play for his family in their palace beneath the Caspian Sea. And Sadko said he would. But first, he had a plan. He sold some of his sea treasures to buy a stall at the marketplace. Soon, he was so busy buying, selling, and trading, nobody called him Sadko the musician anymore. They now called him Sadko the merchant. Before long, he had purchased a ship and hired a crew, and was sailing the seas to trade his goods in lands far, far away. One summer day, after a long voyage, Sadko was sailing back to Russia. As the ship glided across the Caspian Sea, Sadko decided to rest in his cabin. He was lying on his bed when something in the corner caught his eye.
Huh. My harp. My goosely.
The goosely was dusty and dirty after sitting neglected for so many years. Sadko couldn't remember the last time he'd even touched it. So he walked up to the deck of the ship and began to play. His fingers felt rusty at first, but soon they loosened up and the most beautiful music began to flow across the ship and out to sea. Sadko's crew gathered to watch and listen. The music was so sweet, it was like they were hypnotized. Then, all of a sudden, they felt a great bump. The ship had lurched to a stop right in the middle of the Caspian Sea. The crew stumbled to the ground.
What is happening? Why aren't we moving?
The captain scrambled to his feet and looked around.
I don't know what's going on, sir. We're moving right on course. Our sails are filled with wind. We must have gone aground.
But that's impossible. We are in the middle of the Caspian Sea, and these waters are deep.
Well, we could put on more sails. Hear that, men? More sails!
The masts of the ship groaned and bent, but still the ship did not budge. The crew looked at one another with frightened eyes. Some of the men began to tremble.
Hey, hey, what is everyone so scared about?
The captain shrugged his shoulders.
The crew, sir. They think it's the Tsar of the Sea. They think he wants something from us.
Now, you have to understand. Many years had gone by since Sadko had met the Tsar of the Sea and promised to come back and play for the Tsar and his daughters. In fact, by now, Sadko had forgotten all about that promise.
Well, if the Tsar of the Sea wants something, let's give it to him. A chest of gold, perhaps? That's an offering fit for a king.
So the crew took a chest filled with gold coins and tossed it into the sea. But still, the ship stayed motionless.
So the Tsar of the Sea isn't satisfied by such riches, huh? Well, what could possibly be more rich than gold?
That's when, all of a sudden, Sadko remembered the Tsar's words from so many years ago.
Sadko, I see you are not rich in gold, but you are rich in something even better. Music!
Of course.
Without a word, Sadko grabbed his goosely and climbed onto the railing of the ship.
Men, it is the Tsar of the Sea who stopped our ship, but he stopped it for me. He's reminding me that I have forgotten a promise that I made to him long, long ago. Now it is time for me to make good on that promise.
And with that, he took a deep breath, leaped off the railing, and he and his goosely splashed into the sea. Immediately, the ship sprang forward and sailed swiftly back toward the harbor. Meanwhile, Sadko sank down, 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 past willowy fronds of seaweed, past brightly colored fish blowing bubbles. Miraculously, he found he was able to breathe underwater. When he reached the bottom of the Caspian Sea, he saw a grand palace. Sadko clutched his goosely as he entered a great hall. There, sitting high on a throne shimmering with shells, was the Tsar of the Sea, his long green beard waving gently in the water.
Sadko of Novgorod. I was hoping I got your attention. My daughters and I have waited a long time to hear you play your music in our palace under the sea.
Sadko noticed that on either side of the Tsar sat many young women, all of them with seaweed-like hair and eyes that sparkled like jewels.
Great Tsar, princesses, I'm sorry I did not come to you sooner. I let my quest for riches get the better of me. I forgot about the richest thing of all, music. So now I am here, and now I will play.
The Tsar smiled and rose from his throne.
And I will dance!
Sadko started plucking a peaceful tune. The Tsar of the Sea swayed back and forth. This went on for a few minutes until...
Faster! Play faster!
So Sadko played faster. As the rhythm grew more frantic and furious, the Tsar of the Sea began to jump and twist around.
Faster! Play as fast as you can!
Sadko was having so much trouble keeping up with the Tsar that soon he was playing out of tune. But the Tsar didn't notice. As he shook and shimmied, the water around him began to swirl faster and faster until up on the surface of the sea there rose a great storm. Waves crashed against the shore and ships were tossed about.
Excuse me, good Tsar. I think I should stop. My music, your dancing were causing all kinds of tumult up on the...
No, no, keep playing! Faster! Faster!
Sadko played so fast his fingers grew numb, but he kept on plucking. Soon, he felt a gentle touch on his shoulder. Still playing, he turned his head and saw one of the daughters of the Tsar.
Oh, Sadko, my father's dancing will bring great destruction to the ships and cities of the Caspian Sea.
I know, but what can I do? Every time I try to stop, he orders me to keep going. And faster at that. I can't say no to the Tsar of the Sea.
Listen to me, Sadko. You must break the strings of your goosely.
Wait, break the strings of my... Are you serious?
Serious as the storm raging above us right now. Break the strings of your goosely. And tell my father you have to find new ones. Tell him you must return to the city of Novgorod to get them.
And you think that he'll let me go?
I know my father well. He will let you go, but only if you take one of his daughters with you. I must be that daughter.
She began to walk away. Sadko called after her.
How will I know whom to ask for? What is your name?
The Tsar's daughter turned around. That was when Sadko noticed something familiar tied around her neck. It was a rope, and on that rope was a glowing greenish-blue piece of aquamarine shaped like a harp.
My name is Volkova. Ask for me, and all will be well.
Sadko played for a minute longer. Then, one by one, he laid his fingers across the strings of his goosely. And, one by one, he broke them. Immediately, the Tsar of the Sea stopped dancing. Though the waters became calm, the Tsar was anything but. In fact, he was furious.
Sadko! Why did you stop playing?
Great Tsar, the strings of my goosely are broken. I must return to the city of Novgorod for new ones.
The Tsar took a deep breath. He stroked his long, wavy beard.
I see. Well, you may go, but you must bring one of my daughters with you. She will make sure you play for me again. Come, choose which one.
Sadko looked down the line of the Tsar's daughters.
There. She is the one I choose.
Volkova. A very fine choice. Now go, you two, and fix those strings.
Volkova led Sadko out of the great hall and into a small room. In it was a bed shaped like a clamshell.
Sadko, you must stay here and rest. Then we will go together to Novgorod.
Thank you, Volkova. I am rather exhausted after all of that playing.
Oh, of course you are. But before you sleep, I must tell you. I have loved your songs ever since you played for our feast in Lake Ilmen. All the celebration we held with the water elves and the fairies. Your music is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard, Sadko. I hope you'll play for me always.
Sadko was so touched by Volkova's words, he blushed.
Volkova, that is so kind of you to...
Oh, but wait, there's one more thing, Sadko. When I say I hope you will play for me always, it is not under the sea that you should play.
Sadko was confused.
Where is it then? if not under the sea?
Volkova smiled.
It is in the bright world above.
And with that, she disappeared. Sadko drifted into a deep sleep. He couldn't tell whether minutes, hours, or days had gone by when he woke up again. As he lay on his back, he noticed he was no longer in the bed shaped like a clamshell. In fact, he was no longer in the palace of the Tsar of the Sea. Because instead of seeing rippling water, his eyes focused on something else entirely.
The sky. That is the bright blue sky right above me. Where am I?
Sadko sat up with a start. He looked to the right. He looked to the left.
Could it be?
Much to Sadko's surprise, he was sitting outside the walls of the city of Novgorod. And beside him flowed a river.
But wait, Novgorod doesn't have a river.
Making his way to the water's edge, Sadko saw the river was broad and deep. It flowed as if it had always been there. As he peered more deeply into the clear water, something caught his eye. A glowing flash of greenish blue. It was the harp-shaped piece of aquamarine tied to Sadko's rope.
Well, I'll be. Volkova.
You see, the Tsar's daughter, Volkova, she never returned to her father. She took all the waters that flooded when the Tsar danced up that raging storm, and she brought those waters together into a river. Her river. The Volkov. The Volkov flows into another river and then into the Caspian Sea, where the Tsar of the Sea lives in his grand palace. As for Sadko, he never went back to the Caspian Sea either. Instead, his merchant ship sailed up and down the Volkov River, while he sat on the deck and played his goosely. The Tsar of the Sea still was able to dance, but now he danced gently to sweet music he heard from far away. Sweet music that Sadko the musician played for the river who loved his songs. Now it's your turn. What's a song that you especially enjoy? Find a grown-up you like to have fun with and share your favorite song with them. You could play a recording or even sing it. Talk about why you like this song so much, why it inspires you. And if your grown-up doesn't know the song, maybe you can teach it to them and sing it together. Now that you've listened to Sadko in the Sea, we invite you to color it. Tell your grown-up to visit our website, wbur.org/circleround, and click on the Coloring Pages link. There, you'll find Sabina Hahn's wonderful black and white pictures for this story, and all our stories. Print them out, then let your imagination run wild. And if you're up for it, we'd love to see what you color. Our email address is circleround@wbur.org. Special thanks to our actors this week, James Konacek, Tom Whaley, Lakshmi Singh, and Max Greenfield. Grown-ups, you can catch Max on the FX original series, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story. And you can hear Lakshmi Singh on your favorite public radio station, bringing you the news on NPR. Circle Round is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a moment, please write us a review. It helps other people find Circle Round. I'm Rebecca Shear. Thanks for circling round with us. Have you ever performed in front of people? Maybe you've been in a concert or a play. Perhaps you've sung a song or recited a poem for your family. For some people, performing is the most natural thing in the world. For others, it can be a nerve-wracking experience. I know I've had my share of sweaty palms and butterflies in my stomach. Today, we'll meet a musician who knows all about those butterflies until he finds himself performing for a very special and magical audience. I'm Rebecca Shear, and welcome to Circle Round, where story time happens all the time. Today, our story is called The Piper and the Pooka, A pooka is a magical creature said to exist in Ireland, the country where our tale comes from. Some really great people came together to bring you this folktale, including Damian McGinty. Grown-ups, you might recognize Damian from the Fox series Glee and the Irish music group Celtic Thunder. So circle around, everyone, for the Piper and the Pooka. There once was a fellow who loved to play the bagpipes. His grandfather played the bagpipes almost every day of his life, so music was in the piper's blood. Day after day, the piper would blow into the blow stick. That's the pipe that fills the bag with air. Then he'd squeeze the bag so the pipes would let out that long, deep bagpipe drone. Then the piper's fingers would dance across the holes of the chanter, as it's called, to play the melody. The piper played his bagpipes with his entire heart and soul. There was just one problem.
Hey, Piper, let's hear some Danny Boy.
Okay. Sure.
You see, try as the piper might.
I forgot that one.
He could only play one song. It was called The Wild Rover. And if that's the song you wanted to hear, well, the piper would give you as solid a rendition as any. But request any other song, and he would completely clam up.
I forgot that one too.
Now, many people in the bagpiper's town made fun of him.
Hey, Piper, play us the Wee Weaver.
Or how about the Raggle Taggle Gypsy?
Forget it. He only knows the one song. Ah, the Wild Rover.
Again?
And the more the townspeople mocked the Piper, the more self-conscious he became.
Oh, I don't know how my grandfather did it. He could play any song for any audience. But I can just play this one song, and people laugh at me. That settles it. I love music, it's in my blood, but I'm never going to play in front of anyone else ever again. Ever.
So the piper began playing his bagpipes only at night, and only out in the dark, marshy, mossy bogs, where few people dared to go. One especially cold November evening, the piper was about to leave the bogs and go back home when he caught sight of the moon.
What a glorious full moon there is tonight. Why, it's almost golden. I can't go home and miss this sight. I'll play just a little bit more, then head back to my mother's house.
The piper placed the bag under his arm, filled it with breath, and squeezed. As his pipes echoed across the soggy lands, the piper noticed a dark shape flitting and flickering through the air around him. He immediately stopped playing. As the dark shape grew closer, the piper could make out a pair of wings and a large body. He jumped as whatever it was landed on the grass in front of him.
What in the...
The creature was unlike anything the piper had ever seen. Its body was large as a horse, but sleek as a cat, with wings like an eagle and bright, luminescent eyes. And it had these giant paws, or were they the talons of a large bird? The piper couldn't quite tell. Yet when the creature spoke, its voice sounded oddly human.
Hello there, Piper.
Wait, you can talk?
Well, if you can understand the words I'm speaking, then I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Are you going to... What do you... Might I ask, what are you?
The creature's luminescent eyes grew even brighter.
Well, clearly you didn't listen to your grandfather's tales. They call me the Pooka.
The Pooka?
Yes, the Pooka.
And where... Pooka, where do you come from?
The Pooka smiled, showing off a set of perfectly white, perfectly sharp teeth.
I come from the hills and mounds in the countryside, my boy. I live amongst the fairy women.
The Piper's eyes grew even wider than they already were.
Wait. You live with the fairies? But nobody ever sees them.
Not so, my boy. I see them all the time. In fact, tonight, they are having a magnificent feast. And you, Piper, you are to be their entertainment.
The Piper could hardly believe his ears. Mythical fairies wanted him to play at their feast?
Wait, me? They want me. Look, Pukka, I'm really flattered that you, but I don't think I'm quite, I really need to get home to my mother. She's been waiting for me for hours, and I'm pretty sure she's getting worried
Piper,
about where I'm...
Piper, listen to yourself. Are you forgetting who you are? You're the one who plays with your entire body and soul. Think about your grandfather. Music is in your blood. Duty calls, my friend.
I really don't think...
But before the Piper could say another word, the Pukka lunged forward. As he did, his head sprouted the horns of a goat. Before the Piper knew it, the horns grabbed onto his body, flipped him up in the air, until he landed with a thump right on the Pukka's back. Then the Pukka spread his majestic wings, and he and the Piper soared high up into the air.
All right, Piper, hold on tight. We have music to make.
What do you think will happen when the Piper arrives at the fairy's feast? What would you do if you were the Piper? We'll find out what comes next after a quick break.
My favorite music is a lion, the whisker, because I think the music is really beautiful.
Welcome back to Circle Round. I'm Rebecca Shear. Our story today is called The Piper and the Pukka. When we left off, a bagpiper had met a mysterious, shape-shifting creature known as the Pukka. The piper only knew how to play one song on his bagpipes, so he was very confused when the Pukka chose him to perform at the fairy's feast. Before the piper could protest, the Pukka tossed the piper onto his back, and they were flying high in the air. The piper clutched his bagpipes with one hand and the Pukka's neck with the other, as the Pukka picked up speed.
Pukka, listen. There's something you should know. I can't perform for the fairy woman because, well, I only know one song.
The piper half expected the Pukka to drop down to earth and send the piper home to his mother. But instead, the Pukka smiled.
Don't you worry, Piper. You love the music you make, and the fairies will feel that love when you play. Trust me. You'll be rewarded handsomely for your troubles.
The piper gazed down as the Pukka flew somewhere no human ever dared to go, past the boglands and over the hills and mounds in the countryside. The piper held on tight as the Pukka swooped down to the side of a rocky hill. When they landed, the piper watched in wonder as the Pukka's feet transformed into the hooves of a horse. He stomped his hooves 3 times, and the great rocks rumbled apart, uncovering a secret door.
Here we are.
With the piper on his back, the Pukka moved through a maze of craggy passageways until they entered a great shining hall. As the piper looked around, he saw hundreds of fairies, all with long white hair, pale skin, and shimmering silver dresses. One of the fairies came over and addressed the Pukka with a smile.
100,000 greetings to you, Pukka.
She glanced at the piper with twinkling eyes.
Who is this lad you brought with you?
Who is this lad, you ask? Why, only the finest piper in all the land!
The piper leaned down and whispered into the Pooka's ear.
The finest piper in the land?
Oh, my goodness. It isn't every day we're graced with the presence of the finest piper in the land. Please, piper, come down and play for us.
As the piper slid off the puka's back, hundreds of fairies came over to get a closer look. The piper felt sweat beads form on his forehead. His heart was beating like a drum.
You're really gonna make me do this?
I told you, you love your music. It's in your blood. That's all that matters.
The piper steadied his trembling hands. Then he held up his bagpipes and took a deep breath to fill them with air. He squeezed the bag as he had 1,000 times before. And he reached for the chanter to play, you guessed it, the Wild Rover. When he was finished, the fairies showered him with applause. The piper couldn't help but smile. Until...
More, more. We want to hear some more.
The piper's palms began to sweat. His heart raced even faster.
Really? Don't you think you've heard enough? I mean, you know what they say about too much of a good thing?
No, no, no. The night is young. We want to dance.
The piper knew he had no choice but to keep playing, even if it was the exact same song. But when he blew into his pipes, you won't believe what happened. He played the Wild Rover, but he played it as he never had before. Immediately, the fairies began to dance. Watching them whirl, twirl, and sway, the piper was inspired to play faster and faster and faster. The fairies' silver dresses swirled around them as they kept time with the music. Soon, it looked as though some of the fairies might collapse from exhaustion, so the piper ended the song to thunderous applause. The piper gave a deep bow, and then, before he knew what he was doing, he brought the blowstick back to his lips and filled the bag with air. He squeezed, and suddenly, he wasn't playing the Wild Rover. Instead, he was playing a song he'd heard his grandfather play many years ago. It was a sad song called a lament, and as the fairies listened, tears slid down their snow-white cheeks. Even the puka's luminescent eyes began to well up.
You've done it, me boy. Finer piping I have not heard in this world. Or in any other world, for that matter. Come on now, fairies. It's time to pay the piper.
The piper was so shocked at what just happened that he stood stock still as, one by one, the fairies came up to him and placed a solid gold coin on the floor. Soon, the pile of gold reached up to his knees.
My goodness! I'm as rich as a king.
And now it's time to go, piper. Climb on.
The piper shoveled the gold into his bag, gathered up his bagpipes, and hoisted himself onto the puka's back. They soared back to the piper's town and landed in front of his mother's house.
Well, piper, you've come back a far richer man.
I certainly have. I now have a king's ransom in gold.
Much to the piper's surprise, the puka began to roar.
Gold? Is that all you can think of? You've been given 2 treasures tonight, piper, and the most valuable treasure definitely is not gold. Now sleep on that.
The puka pursed his lips and blew into the piper's face. Immediately, the piper fell into a deep sleep right there on the grass. When he awoke the next morning, he dusted himself off, grabbed his bagpipes, and ran inside to tell his mother about his adventures. As he finished his story, he noticed her eyes had a faraway look.
Well, Mother, don't you want to see my treasure?
If there's a treasure to be seen, my son, then yes, please, show me.
The piper opened his bag.
Here it is, Mother. See how rich I am? Look at all my gold.
But as he dumped the contents of the bag onto the kitchen table, he let out a cry.
Oh!
Because instead of gold coins,
all that came pouring out of the bag were dry leaves.
But I could have sworn. I'm telling you, Mother, I came home rich last night. Rich.
His mother smiled and gently laid her hand on his shoulder.
Perhaps you're still rich, my son, just in some other way. I must tell you, your grandfather told us a similar story when I was a young girl. You may not know this, but your grandfather, he always had such stage fright. The finest piper in all the land. But if people were around, oh, forget about it. He couldn't play a note.
The piper gasped.
But he was such a star. He had stage fright.
Well, he did. Until he came home one morning and told us he'd grown rich overnight. Said he had piles of gold. But it turns out the gold wasn't the real treasure at all.
I don't understand.
Pick up your bagpipes, my son. Play me a song. And not the Wild Rover. Play me something else.
But I...
Music's in your blood, my boy. You love your music. Now, show me some of that love.
Slowly, the piper took a deep breath and filled the bag with air. Then he squeezed it, held the chanter, and began to play. And the song he played, it was a new one. A beautiful song he never knew he had inside. And as the sound of his music drifted out the windows, the townspeople rushed over to the piper's house so they could listen in. And they didn't mock. And they didn't laugh. But none of that mattered to the piper now, because he realized that when you love music, when you play it with your entire heart and soul, it doesn't matter who's listening. All that matters is that you play. Now it's your turn. Pretend you're the puka. If you met a piper who got butterflies in his stomach every time he had to play a new song, how would you help him out? Find someone you have fun with, a family member or friend, and pretend he or she is the piper. As the puka, what can you do or say to help the piper believe in himself? Be as creative as you like. And next time you or someone you know gets stage fright, you'll have a whole new way to chase those butterflies away. Special thanks to our actors this week, Maisie Scarpa, Hannah Kenny, Jacob Yeh, James Konacek, Jenny Bacon, and Damian McGinty. Damian is currently on tour, promoting his first EP of original songs, No More Time. You can find it on Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, streaming services, and everywhere else. Today's story, The Piper and the Puka, was adapted by Eric Shimalonis and me, Rebecca Shear. Our editor and executive producer is Jessica Alpert. Eric Shimalonis also does our original music and sound design. And the artist who draws those fabulous black and white pictures on our website, the ones you can color, is Sabina Hahn. Tell your grown-ups to visit wbur.org/circleround and click Coloring Pages. Circle Round is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. And grown-ups, don't forget to subscribe to Circle Round on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have a moment, please write us a review. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. I'm Rebecca Shear. Thanks for circling round with us.